Let's pray and let's touch on the word. Lord, we just thank you. God, we thank you for the testimony. Lord, God, you said that, Lord, in your scriptures, God, that the enemy was overcome by the word of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, God, and we despise our life even unto death, Lord. And I pray that those words would sink deep into us, God, and change us in some way, Father. And Lord, even now, God, as we open up the scriptures, God, as we lead and teach, we ask you to guide us and lead us right now, Lord, that you are the true teacher, God. And so we ask right now, Lord, in this room, release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. If you need a Bible, Charles will come and hand one over to you. Just lift your hand in the air real quickly. This morning at the 11 o'clock service, I gave part two of our talk on the essentials of our faith. And so you can pick that up on the website. But I want to do a little something different today. I hope you don't mind. All right, 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's read. Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told the master, saying, "Thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Aram said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And it came about that when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me." And it happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was furious and went away and said, "Behold, I thought, and that he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him, said, "My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. You know, the Old Testament is full of great passages of Scripture. You know, there's texts like this, and this is for me personally. I enjoy doing this type of preaching. It's just the text is there, right? You let the text speak for itself. You just make a little jab here and there, a little interlude, you know, but you basically allow the Bible to speak for the Bible, you know. And so we have this picture of Naaman, and I'm just going to lead you to the text, basically, you know, and I'll just make a few comments here and there to give us a kind of a crystallization of what the Lord is doing in this time and how we can apply that into our own lives. So Naaman, in a lot of ways, is just like us. You know, one thing that I appreciate about our church members, I appreciate about being in Hong Kong, is I meet so many incredibly capable people. You know, in some ways, you know, the people that are here working in Hong Kong are the cream of the crop. You know, I've never seen, you know, so many highly educated people in one setting that I do here. You know, I said before, right, we have much more degrees than we have intelligence for, you know, and think about that for a little bit, you know. And so, you know, it's amazing to see how we as a people, you know, or the community that we're around, very accomplished, very competent people. But just like Naaman, there's a weakness there. right? And you know, and you know what your weaknesses are, right? No one really has to point it out to you. It's not maybe not be leprosy, you know, in case that everyone can see. And actually, in Naaman's case, what most scholars believe is he hid his ailment very well. Only those people close to him really knew what was going on. And in our life, it's very similar, right? We can be very capable, you know. I've seen and I've met so many people here in Hong Kong, you know, that they have some major glaring issues in their life. But they're so competent, they're able to squeeze those things down for a season. Because it comes in waves, right? It comes in episodes, and they squeeze those issues down, and they move on, because I'm going to fight through it. I'm going to make their way. But then 6 months later on, those same issues come right back up. And then, oh, no, but I'm capable. I'm going to squeeze that thing down, right? And then they go on their life again. And then 6 months later, something else happens. You know, and we ride this roller coaster. You know, it may not be you, maybe a friend of yours that's living out here. But these things happen all the time. And Naaman was like this. He was capable. He was a valiant warrior. But he had incredible glaring weakness. Very similar to us. You know, as I look and span this from my, I don't know most of you very well. Some of you superficially, you know, some much better, you know. But as we look at, you know, as I look at my life, and you know, everything can seem okay on the outside. You know what I mean? We can seem like we got it going on, man. We got a good job, you know. We're making good money, you know. We got some good friends. We go to a good church, you know, and on and on and on and on. But yet, there's something there. There's a leprosy in our life that needs to get dealt with. You know, and thank God that God wants to deal with these things. You know, sometimes we're in the mindset that we have is that we believe that, you know, I don't know, God, I don't think you're so interested in this part. Yeah, you're interested in me praying. You're interested in me giving. You're interested in me going to church. You're interested in those things. But these areas, you seem to be kind of hands off. You know, and lo and behold, the reason why it seems like God's hands off a lot is because we don't let God enter into these pictures, right? We don't let God enter into our weakness. Now, let me make some clarification here, right? There's a difference, and you know, I thought on this a long time ago. There's a difference between weakness and wickedness, okay? We all have weaknesses, every single one of us, right? Now, a weakness, right, is just simply defined, or I should say the other way, wickedness is basically weakness that's not submitted unto God, and it turns into sin, right? For example, right, here, let's be a little controversial, right? Homosexuality, okay? Homosexuality, someone may have a proclivity towards being a homosexual, right? But that doesn't mean that you have to engage, you know what I mean? And stuff, and so there may be temptations that we may have. That could be the weakness, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean that, in other words, it doesn't turn into wickedness, but it will turn into wickedness when it's not submitted to God. And so there's a lot of things about our life, you know, we have, you know, some people can be more prone towards materialism than other people. You know, I mean, just look around. There's some people that got to dress to the nines, man. You know what I mean? They got to look good. They got to wear the name brand, you know, Gucci this, Prada that, you know. I mean, just everything, right? And some other guy doesn't even care. Don't even know who Prada is. You know what I mean? And stuff. And so, you know, it's different. But see, there could be an inclination towards this weakness. You know, it could be an inclination towards something there, but it becomes wickedness when it's not submitted to God. And see, what God requires of us and what intimacy says is that we give it over to ourselves. My wife and I, you know, we can only be intimate in the fact that we're truthful to one another. The moment that I start hiding myself or hiding aspects, right, then I cease to become intimate and we can't grow from there. And so a lot of times in our relationship with God, we have things and we just simply do not allow God to enter in. Remember, God's a gentleman. Right, he'll take us as far as we want to go. That's what we call free will. Right, that's just something that's a part of this whole plan that he had laid out. And so, and what we need to do is we need to submit it to God. You know, and in Naaman's case, like many of us, right, we just don't let God touch this thing. Right, it's just I'm gonna take care of it. You know, sure, I'll just buy more armor. I'll just buy nicer clothes to hide my leprosy. You know, or I'll just do this. And you know, and it's interesting that we buy a lot of things when we're dealing with the issues of our life, right? You know, either you buy more alcohol, you buy more drugs, you know, or you buy more clothes, or you buy more houses, or you know, depending on your income level, like, how that goes, right? That part I have no concept of, you know, but from this accomplishment, and there's weakness, you know? And interestingly, in this narrative, we see that God picks the perfect time, right, to introduce an avenue of healing. You know, it just happened to be out of the blue that the armies were going out raiding villages, and they had just happened to have captured this girl who happens to know this prophet, who happens to be able to heal people, who happens to be connected to Naaman in some way, who happens to tell him about this person named Elisha. You know, it's interesting because you got to understand, God wants us to be whole. You'd be so amazed and surprised at how God will just happen to bring people into our lives. Well, just some circumstance happened somewhere. You know, you heard today Steve's testimony, right? God just happened to put this discipler into his life. You know, and listening to the testimony, your life would be totally different had it not been for this person. And God just happens to do stuff like that. It's amazing, isn't it? And I can pinpoint times in my life, you know, where just divine appointments, where I just meet people, you know, or I just read something and it just clicks, something connects, you know, and I realize, wow, God, you set me up for this thing. You know, I mean, the whole thing was a setup. You know, I just, you know, in fact, just coming here to Hong Kong, you know, the whole thing, right? I just happened to know, you know, Jimmy Stewart is sitting right here, right? Who happens to somehow, you know this church, who happens to be looking for an English pastor, right? Who happens to have a service, who happens to, you know, invite missionaries to come, and Jimmy happens to be one of them, you know, and on. I met him years before. It just, these things happen like this. God arranges, you know, in the book of Psalm. Sorry, am I speaking a little too fast? I'll slow down a little bit, right? I don't have any notes. That's why usually then I speak really fast. And so, you know, in Psalms chapter, Psalms 119, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know, and the whole chapter is talking about the Bible. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my..." There's a beautiful word in Hebrew, you know, when it talks about thy word, and it's a word called dabar. And what the word literally means is, literal translation is arranged. And so what the psalmist is telling us is saying that God has literally arranged every step. He's a light unto my feet, right? And a light unto my path. In other words, every single step is if God just takes our foot and just boom, and he just arranges the steps. That's what he does, right? This is the kind of God that we have. And he will arrange in our life to bring us into places, bring us into situations where we can come into wholeness, where we can be not just capable on the outside, but capable on the inside. That we don't have to cover up our weaknesses. You know, we don't have to put more armor on, or, you know, or more jewelry, you know, or more this or more that, to hide and cover the things that are really ailing us from deep within. And so it's the providence of God that brings Naaman to meet this little girl. You know, and don't ever throw off, you know, or toss away, you know, an avenue of healing that may come to you because it just doesn't look like it could be from God. Also, Naaman, that was his big deal. This can't be from God. You're a little servant girl. You know, I mean, how can this be, right? Don't ever throw off any an act of God in any way that they may look or may seem to be maybe not really God or not really from him or whatnot. You know, because God works in mysterious ways, right? I mean, he's always operating out of this mode. And so he comes, and there's a little girl, and this little, she hears about Naaman and says, "Oh, you know, there's a prophet in Samaria, and this guy can heal leprosy, and this guy can do all sorts of things." And then Naaman, let's go to verse 4, went in, told his master, right? And thus says the girl who is from the land of Israel, "The king of Aram said, 'Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' He departed and took with him 10 talents, right? And so he basically, we're not going to read this whole thing, but he came and he gave all these wealth and all these things. He tried to buy this king. And you know the story, the king tears his clothes, right? All these things happen, you know, and next thing you know, Elisha comes. Let's go to verse 8. "And it happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent word to the king saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.'" Now, to give you a little context of what's going on, you know, Israel is a tiny, tiny country, right? Aram is a big power at this time. You know, and so, you know, the king of Israel is thinking that the king of Aram is going to set him up. You know, basically, he's going to send Naaman down there, and, you know, Naaman's not going to be cured. And then the king's going to say, oh, you couldn't do this. I'm going to attack you now. You know, and so he's thinking it's some kind of plot. Well, the king tears his clothes, and the tearing of the clothes was one act of humiliation. It was an act of repentance in some ways. But, you know, it's, the king should not be tearing his clothes. The king should be powerful. And so Elisha comes and says, why are you tearing your clothes? He says, listen, I'm going to heal this guy because this is what's going to happen. You're going to know that there's a prophet in Israel. This is the key. Why did God heal Naaman? Was it just to heal him? No. He healed Naaman because there was a purpose behind it. You know, let me ask you this question. Why is God blessing you? Right? So I can be blessed, Pastor Sam, right? Because don't I look blessed, you know? And I could just buy stuff, you know? And I could give to the church, and you know? Why is God blessing you? You know, and you know, a lot of us, we say, yeah, God's blessing me, you know? It's like, why is God blessing you? He blesses you for a purpose, right? God healed Naaman for a purpose, right? It wasn't just, you know, and you know, we went through life, and you know, it's like, oh yeah, cool. I'm healed. That's cool. And we just live. No, God does things in our life for a purpose, right? God heals us for a purpose. God blesses us for a purpose. It's not just so that we can just walk around and say, man, I'm just so blessed. You know, I'm just a blessed guy. I can't believe how blessed I am, right? That's not the whole point. It's not so we can have some fancy name card, you know, or, you know, dress in nice suits and, you know, and do, you know, go to meetings. That's not the point. God has blessed us for a purpose. God is healing and has healed Naaman for a purpose. What's that purpose? Well, that's for you to come up with, right? I can't give you all the answers, right? You know, that's for you to try to understand. You know, Naaman was healed. Obviously, God loves Naaman, right, and wants to heal him. But there was a purpose behind it. God wanted to show everyone that there was a prophet in Israel, that God was the king over all of Israel, and God can do the impossible. See, there's purpose to these things, right? It was to authenticate, right, the ministry and the message of Elisha. You know, and I tell you, God's going to do things in our life, I mean, wonderful things in our life, but there's going to be a purpose attached to it. Now, it doesn't mean there's going to be a ball and chain attached to it. Oh, I got to do something now. Because see, when you're so blessed, right, when you're so loved, it flows out of you. You know, I mean, if, you know, my wife and I, we just celebrated our fifth anniversary. Now, if you got to twist my arm to love, you know what I mean? You know, people have to come up and, you know, I've, you know, some accountability brothers come up and says, Pastor Sam, you need to love your wife more, man. You know, you need to spend time, you know, and twisting my arm to do that, then that's not real love. You know what I mean? And stuff. But see, God blesses us. He loves us, that it may flow out. Whatever he has purpose to do in our life may flow out of us, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking. God blessed you, but he blessed you for a purpose. But he blessed you for a purpose. You know, and God, I'm going to tell you right now, whatever issues, and as we talked about this, whatever leprosy that's in our life, God's going to heal you. I guarantee, God's going to heal you, right? You know, in Philippians chapter 1, it says, he who began a good work in you will complete it, right? Will be faithful to complete it, right, until the day of Christ. That's just what he's going to do. He will be faithful to complete the work that he has begun already in our life. That's just what he does. You know, God starts things and God finishes things. So that's just something about God's character. And you understand that God is going to heal you. God is going to minister to you. And God's going to come in his timing, right? And his timing is perfect. We may not understand it sometimes, but his timing is perfect, right? And so what we can do now is we can just sit and wait and pursue and go for the things that God has in store for us. You know, and so we see that he comes, right? And this is the task that's before. And comes Elisha, right? And so Naaman hears the word and says, okay, so he comes to visit, right? And he's expecting something. You know, now this is something that's a little different, right? One of the keys of which we so lack in discernment is that we could have heard a word from the Lord, but our steps afterwards are a little off. You know, we hear something, you know, I mean, how many of us have heard, you know, have, you know, thought this? Oh, surely, God, that's the one I'm going to marry. You know, and and God said, you're going to get married, right? But he didn't say, that's the one you're going to marry. You know, I mean, he could have. You never know. And things. And then we take these things. And trust me, when I was interested in my wife, Lisa, and when she wasn't interested in me, you know, during that time, I just used whatever, you know. And so I'd be watching TV, and there'd be a character named Lisa. I kid you not. This is how schizophrenic I was, right? And I'd say like, yeah, yes, God. Thank you, Jesus, for that word. You know? And then I would like give her a call, and she'd be like, eh. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm being totally honest. I'm not trying to fabricate. I would sit there, and I remember one particular day, I was like watching TV, and I was out, and I heard the name Lisa like 5 times. And I thought, surely this is the Lord. You know? And, well, it was the Lord, but not in that way, right? You know, but we can get the timing off, or we can get the application of what we're learning off in that way. That's what Naaman did. Naaman said, oh, he's going to heal me. So he comes full force, and, you know, he's expecting something. But what he gets is a lot different than what he expects. You know, it's a little note. You know, a lot of times in our spiritual life, we will throw things, we will call things darkness that's actually light, because it doesn't meet up to our expectations. Because it doesn't come in the package or in the form, in the wrappings that we think it should come in. But yet, that's the best thing for our life. You know what I mean? You know, I could tell you, there are so many times in my life where I've said no to things because it wasn't what I expected from God. And yet, it was the best thing for me. You know, I mean, come on. Hong Kong. You know, coming here. Right? You know, being asked, oh, you want to pastor this church? You know, there's only 5 members, you know, and stuff. But, you know, you want to come all the way out here and move across, you know, across the world. And, you know, it doesn't look, you know, and for 2 years, I said, no, you know, I'm better than this. You know, I'm just being very honest with you, right? You know, I mean, I've accomplished more than to come here for a stinky little church. Give me a break, you know? But see, a lot of times, because it doesn't fit our expectations, we kind of just toss it aside and thank God for his mercy that God doesn't give up, right? He doesn't relent, and he continues to pursue us. You know, I wonder how many times you've tossed aside, right, something that was God, you know, because the package was a little off. You know what I mean? Because the package wasn't what you expected it to look like, or your expectations were a little different. You know, I mean, look around this room. I wonder how many of you guys, now this is a little side note, right? You know what I'm about to say, right? I wonder how many of you guys, as a church, you know, because we're so familiar with each other, you know, because your expectations are a little different, but that person sitting next to you could be the perfect. You know, I had to throw that in there. I couldn't resist. You know, my mind was saying, no, don't do it. It's okay, right? You know, on a side note, you know, one thing about moving to 2 services, you know, what I've really enjoyed, I've actually enjoyed the time from in between the 11 o'clock service and the 2 o'clock service. Just sitting in the back room, just shooting the breeze, talking. It's been a blast. And so thank you guys for hanging out with me. in between service, right? Let's get back into text here. Right? And so he gets a little put off because, first of all, he's got these expectations because he's a great guy, right? He thinks Elisha's going to come out to meet with him, you know, and then Elisha's going to do something, and then boom, it's going to happen. You know, and we have expectations like that, you know. We think, God, I pray for this, just let it happen. You know, and it doesn't happen this way. First of all, right, Elisha doesn't go out. He sends his servant out, you know, to go. And he says, well, I want you to go and I want you to dump yourself in the Jordan. Now, you got to understand in context, the Jordan River is filthy. You know what I mean? Like, as you don't dip into that river to get clean. Have you guys ever been to, like, Nepal or India? Have you ever gone down and seen the Ganges River? Oh, my God, so filthy. I mean, it is so filthy, but they consider that to be life, mother, right? You know, and I remember, you know, when I was in Nepal and I was and going down, and we're by the Ganges, and man, I mean, you know, here's people bathing, you know, down the river, you know, and then, you know, like about 100, you know, yards later on, and you see these water buffaloes, you know, and the water is going downstream to where they're bathing and washing their clothes and brushing their teeth and all these things. And these water buffaloes are crossing the river, and there's these things that were floating out of the water buffaloes. I mean, humongous things floating out of the water buffaloes, you know, and I was thinking, this is filthy, but that's, they consider that to be life. You know, the Jordan was like that. You know what I mean? It was dirty, filthy river, you know, in Damascus. And, you know, and this thing, surely it could have been another river. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. But see, a lot of times God doesn't make, well, I should say this. God makes perfect sense. It's just that we're so sinful, it seems to be something dark in our lives. Isn't that true? God actually makes perfect sense. But we come from such an orientation of death that when we see life, a lot of times we turn away from it instead of embracing it. You know, and it's very natural for us as human beings. You know, we're not accustomed to embracing things that are new. You know, that's why it always takes time, right? You know, I mean, and just look around. You know, like one thing about the fashion industry that I just don't really understand, right? Because, you know, once I see it, it's just ugly. But just because one person or two people or three or 10 people, all of a sudden it's very cool now. You know what I mean? But it took that first person and the second person to finally figure it out because we're, you know, I mean, there's, trust me, there's things that I see, you know, and at first I'm like, that is so ugly. But then you see 100 people wearing it, you're like, you know, maybe I'll go buy one of those things. It doesn't look that bad after all, right? Because we're not used to the new things. We're in fact repulsed by the new at first, but then, you know, after, okay, you know, get our feet wet and we continue on. You know, Naaman was like this. You know, the one thing that kept Naaman away, right, from really grabbing hold of his healing, you know what it was? It was pride. It was pride. You know, the messenger comes, right, and, you know, and here's this smelly river, this stinky river, you know, and what, you want me to dip, and why seven times, you know? And listen to what he says. This is so good, right? Verse 11. Naaman was furious, went away. Another word for furious was you could put prideful, very prideful. Went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Right? This is what he's expecting, right? I mean, he doesn't want Elisha. He wants Benny Hinn to come, right? I mean, think about this. He comes and he says, this is what he's expecting. Elisha's going to come out and just wave his hand. And all of a sudden, whoo! I'm going to be whole. I'm going to be well. I mean, that's crazy. But you know, a lot of times our mentality is like that. You know, we have these complex issues in our life. These complex hurts and pains and anxieties that come from years and years of neglect and pain and abuse and so on and so forth. And yet we think that God's just going to come and whoo, wave his hand and whoo, you know, get the goosebumps and, you know, and I'm going to be good. You know, everything's okay. Now, that doesn't go to say that God doesn't wave his hand and do that in our lives. But you know, a lot of times, God wants us to go a little deeper. You know what I mean? That a lot of times, it's going to require a little bit of work. It's going to require something sometimes to confound our minds and sometimes to reveal our hearts. Right? God does that. God confounds our minds to reveal our heart. You know, and this is what happened in Naaman's case. And this is Naaman's thought. Naaman thought it was just going to be easy. God was just going to, boom, just do this thing. And everything was going to be okay. You know, a lot of us, we have that idea about Christianity. We believe that, you know, once I believe Jesus and woo, everything's going to be okay. You know, but yet, you know, you go across the street, you know, or you talk to your neighbor or, you know, something. I mean, what's it going to hurt? You know, your reputation? Well, if you're concerned about that, then you're walking in pride. Right? So that's the best thing you can do is to squash that pride in our life. You know, let's be faithful with these little things that God asks us. Let's not look to the big so much all the time. You know, I mean, it's amazing, you know, when we do like missions training, these things, and people are so willing to go to the ends of the earth and do all these things, but man, have zero experience in just witnessing to someone right next to them. You know what I mean? And stuff. And so let's be a little more balanced. Yeah, do the great things. Do the big, dramatic things, yes. But do the little things as well. You know what I mean? You know, and because once those little things start happening, it leads into the bigger things, right? I mean, it actually becomes really fun, this whole adventure that we have in God. And so he does it, you know? And so he came into the reason and got his act together, went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan. And he came out and said his skin was like a baby, right? You know, in that same way, when I talked about work or all these things, yes, this is going to require some discipline. But is it going to be tiring, strenuous, break your back labor? No, right? Because the Holy Spirit is guiding us and he's leading us. You know, to walk in wholeness and purity in these things, yeah, there's going to be some sacrifice. But it's not like you're going to be in the hospital. You know what I mean? And stuff. It's work, but it's not death toiling work. And all Naaman had to do was just dip himself 7 times, right? 7, significant number, meaning the number of completeness. Now, did I tell you this story? You know, when I was a youth pastor, you know, we were gone through a kind of a movement of healing in our youth group, and you know, people started getting healed, and you know, and God really began to open up my spirit to prophetic words, and I loved it, man. You know, and I, every service, I had 3 or 4 prophetic words, and I just share with people, and it was amazing to see how right on it was. You know, I mean, I would see open visions. One time I was speaking at a rally, you know, and I saw a vision of a kid, and I saw him open his mom's purse, you know, and steal money. I knew exactly how much money he stole. You know, and I just during the service, I said, "Hey, man, you're sitting in here. You stole, right?" And this kid just face is white as a ghost. You know, and then exactly happened. You know, and so God does stuff like that. And so this was a period of our church where these things were happening. You know, and I remember this one girl came up and she had a bad back. You know, I mean, just really, you know, really struggling with her back at this time, and she had some kind of other health complications. You know, growing, it's a very sickly girl, and so you know, I started praying for her. We just normally just lay hands and pray, but this time, for some reason, I just felt like, you know, I think God wants you to lie down and back 7 times, and if you do that, God will heal you. You know, and I just took a step of faith, and you know, when your back is hurting, it's no good fun to lie down and get back up 7 times. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, like healing 101 class, right? That you have this happen. Obviously, you want them to be in a very comfortable state. And I just told her, I says, you know, I said, I don't know, but I just really sense in my spirit, you know, that God wants to heal you. And if you just lie down and get up 7 times, God's going to heal you. You know, and so she's like, well, you know, what has she got to lose? You know what I mean? She was like Naaman. She'd be like, "What? I'm so offended you asked me to do something like this." Yeah, but she wasn't like Naaman, right? She was hungry. She wasn't prideful. And so she said, "Okay." So I you know, and just because I didn't know either, right? I'm testing this as well. And so I asked her every time. She came down once and got back up. Is his back okay? No, it's still hurting. Okay, go down again, right? Went down again. 2, how's your back? Oh, it still hurts. 3, 4, 5, every time. And then she got up the 7th time. And I stood back and I said, "How's your back?" Because now I'm sweating, right? Because I actually could have put more pain into her life, you know? Because I mean, I don't know. We most people don't know this. And trust me, when someone gives you a prophetic word, usually they're scared to death. You know, it's an act of faith. And next thing you know, I asked her, "Hey, how's your back?" And she kind of did one of these things, like, "Oh, my God, it's gone. I'm healed." And I was like, "Really?" You know, praise God. This is amazing. You know, and again, there's 7 times. There's nothing but the word number 7. You know, 7 is the number of completeness. It's the number of wholeness. It's also the number of God. That's why the number of God is 777. You know, it's an amazing picture. And that's all Naaman had to do. Just follow exactly what God had asked him to do. Right? Through the prophet. And it was done. You know how you get healed? You follow exactly what God is asking you to do, and healing will come, right? Is God asking you to open up to so-and-so? What do you got to lose? You know what I mean? Is God asking you to lay down this or that? What do you got to lose? Except your pride, you know? Is God asking you to do, you know, X or O or whatever the case may be? What do you got to lose? The way to healing, right? Just very simply to overcome our weaknesses is just follow exactly what God has asked you to do. Right? You know, remember in John chapter 2, right? The faithful words of a mother, whatever he says to you. Remember, Jesus' mom, Mary, tells the servants at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Right? Do it. You know, that's, what more can you ask for? You want an avenue to wholeness in your life? Whatever he asks you to do, just do it. Just do it. Because he'll ask you. When to do it? When he tells you to do it. Right? That's God's timing, is when he talks. Right? You know, it's not for you to put on the shelf for 50 years or, you know, or whatever. Right? When he says it, just do it. Just do it. That's all you got to do. It's the road to healing in our life. You know, don't let your pride stand in the way, right, of what is yours by inheritance. You know, yes, you're capable. Can you live the next 20 years of your life in the same manner that you're living now? Yeah, probably. You know, will you be miserable? Yeah, definitely. You know what I mean? And stuff. And you can take your time and say, you know what, Pastor Sam, all right, man, I'm done with this thing. You know, this thing, whatever it is, has plagued me my whole life. I'm ready to deal with this thing. You know, this issue, you know, it's just bothering me. You know, I've had this episode with my family, and this is just, and I need to resolve this. I need some reconciliation in this, and you know, whatever it is, whatever, you know, the weakness may be in our life, let's allow God to enter in, that we submit it to him, right? And we give ourselves to the Lord in that. And then you'll see that God's going to bring people, instances, you know, journals, you know, scriptures, messages, you know, these things are going to happen. You're going to be like, oh, it's a God moment. The time is now. And then you just go for it. And you just follow exactly what God is asking you to do. Amen? Let's pray.